Father. In the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, so this afternoon, we want to look around God's word in a particular area quickly. I want to see the subject of faith. Okay, so what is faith? All right, I want to find out. So are you ready? Okay, now the Hebrew has the word aman used primarily for faith. A-M-A-N, it means to trust. This word is used for Abraham, Genesis 15 verse 6. Genesis 15 verse 6. It says, and he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, underline believed, a man, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Used for the people of Nineveh, Jonah 3 verse 5. Jonah 3 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God, underline that as well, believed God, proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Now the New Testament Greek has the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, used primarily for faith, and its verb pistio, P-I-S-T-U-U-O, the last word accentuated. Now both bear similar meaning. The noun pistis means belief, confidence, conviction, while the verb pistio, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, the last O accentuated, means to believe in or trust in someone or something. Now the noun form pistis is used Romans chapter 4 verse 9. Romans 4 9. It says, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith, pistis, underlying faith, was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. See Galatians 3 verse 2 similarly there. Galatians 3 2. It says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, underlined faith, pistis, used there? Now the verb form pistio is used Romans chapter 10 verse 14. Romans 10 verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, underlined believed, pistio? And how shall they believe, pistio, underline belief again, in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now know that there is faith for salvation, and there is faith for things. Now they are not the same. Faith for salvation, or saving faith, happens when a man hears a message and believes on the same. Now that message is the message of Christ, the gospel. Look at how Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Romans 10, 9 to 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, underline that, believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Underline that, you will be saved. You can call this saving faith. For with the heart one believes on righteousness, underline that, one believes on righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this describes saving faith. A man would have to hear the gospel to believe in the first place. Verses 13 to 14 of that same chapter. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Underline that, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? Underline that, of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Therefore, verse 17 concludes, so then faith comes by hearing, underline that, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the Greek has the word Christos for God here, not Theos. Okay, so it should be better translated this way, the word of Christ, or the message of Christ. You can read it this way, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. So faith would come when a man has a message concerning Christ. That is what Paul means here. Now that message is what the New Testament calls the gospel, the good news about what Christ has done. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 gives us a summary of this message that saves a man. Verses 1 to 4 of that same chapter, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel," underline that, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." Underline that, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, underline that, he was buried, and that he rose again, underline that, he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Therefore, the message which saves a man, which births saving faith, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ for sins, according to the scriptures. So this is what we are to believe upon for salvation. So believing that Jesus is just a good man won't save you, even though he is. Believing that Jesus is a great provider won't save you, even though he is. Believing Jesus is a great healer won't save you, even though he heals men's bodies. The fact concerning Jesus which must be believed upon for salvation are his death, his burial, and his resurrection. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him," underline that, "whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, what are we believing about him? The antecedent text tells us, verses 14 to 15 of that same chapter, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Underline that. "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," referring to the Christ, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we are believing that he was lifted up for us. That is what we are believing in John 3 verse 16. Now what does that mean? The lifting up here refers to him hanging on the cross. Hupsoho in the Greek. H-U-P-S-O-O. The last O accentuated. So he's lifted up on a cross to die. Just like Moses' bronze serpent typified in Numbers chapter 21, 4-9. John uses this term lifted up 5 times in his gospel account. And all times it is referring to Jesus' death. You may see John 3:14 used twice there. John 8:28 used there as well. John 12:32. John 12 verse 34. So John 3:16 can be better read this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in his death for sins," okay, "should not perish but have everlasting life." So this is what a man believes to have everlasting life. Faith in the facts of the gospel is saving faith. Mark 16:16. It says, "He who believes," Jesus speaking here, underline that, "he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, what is being believed is the gospel. Verse 15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel," underline that, "preach the gospel to every creature." In Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer asked how he might be saved, Paul and Silas said to him, verse 31 of that same chapter, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household." Saving faith grants righteousness to all who believe. Romans chapter 3 verse 22. Paul speaking here, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Underline that, "through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Underline that, "on all who believe, for there is no difference." Paul says, Galatians 2 verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Underline that, "by faith in Jesus Christ." Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ. Underline that, "from that Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." To be justified is to be declared righteous by God. It says similarly in Philippians 3 verse 9. Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Underline that, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Underline that, by faith. Saving faith also grants forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts 10, 43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Underline that, will receive remission of sins. Saving faith raises the spiritually dead back to life. Colossians 2, verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. Underline that, raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Similarly, there it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Underline from when to Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together. Underline that, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But notice again that trusting God for salvation is not the same as trusting him for things, situations, and challenges. So there can be faith for things without faith for salvation. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus declares woes on those nations in which his mighty works had been done. Verses 13 to 16, Luke 10, it says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works, underline that, the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me, underline that. He who rejects you rejects me, underline that as well. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now the mighty works, in verse 13, refer to miracles, signs and wonders which Jesus wrought to convince men to believe. Now miracles, signs and wonders are not the gospel, but they point to the gospel. They make men readily accept the God who can intervene in the affairs of men in power. But even with miracles, those nations disbelieved the message. So in those cities, miracles were wrought, yet saving faith was absent. So faith for miracles is different from faith for salvation. Do you see that? The nations could receive miracles, but not salvation. A man can believe God for a miracle and even receive the miracle while remaining unsaved. John chapter 12, verse 37. John 12, 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, underline that, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Underline that, did not believe, that the word of Isaiah the prophet may be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed and report, unto whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Now the signs, verse 37, are supernatural acts, which would have included healings and miracles. So faith for miracles is not saving faith. In John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the multitude, they followed him, not because they believed he was Savior, but because they wanted more miracles of provision. So what does Jesus do? Jesus takes their eyes off faith for food to faith for salvation. Verse 26 of that same chapter, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And verse 27 says, do not labor for the food which perishes. Underline that, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Underline that, endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Underline that, that you believe. So Jesus is saying that the sign of provision, the miracle of provision, is not sufficient. A man must go a step further to believe in Christ as a Savior. Verses 35 to 36 of that same chapter. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me, on the life that believes in me, shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. On the line that, yet do not believe. Now, what does it mean, yet do not believe? They believed it could multiply bread and fish. Wasn't that enough? No. Remember, faith for miracles is not saving faith. A man can trust God for things while not exercising faith for his salvation. In the four Gospels, Jesus healed unbelievers. In Matthew chapter 8, the leper believed that Jesus could make him clean. Verse 1, let's see that quickly. Matthew 8, 1. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can, underline that, you can make me clean. That is, you have the power to. We can call this faith. Okay? Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing to be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Now, was he saved after this? No. What did he trust Jesus for? Healing or salvation? Healing. So, he received what he trusted for. You see that Jesus would often say, your faith has made you well, when he healed the sick. Luke chapter 17 verse 11. Let's run through that quickly. Luke 17 verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, they met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Underline that, your faith has made you well. Now, faith for salvation or faith for healing? For healing. Okay, you see that there? Jesus says similarly in Mark chapter 5, for the woman who had a flow of blood. Verse 34 of that same chapter, Mark 5, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Underline that, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. Underline that. Be healed of your affliction. Now, obviously, the faith here was for healing in her body, not salvation. This woman believed that just by touching Jesus' clothes, she would be healed. Verses 25 to 28 tell us that. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, verse 28 was an expression of her faith. She believed in her heart that simply touching Jesus' garments would get her healed. In Mark chapter 10, the blind man receives his sight by faith. Verses 51 to 52 of that same chapter. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Underline that, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus commends the centurion for having great faith. Verse 10 of that same chapter. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Underline that, such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, what he had faith for was the healing of his paralyzed servant, not salvation. Verses 5 to 8 tell us. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Underline that, only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Underline that, my servant will be healed. He believed that just a word from Jesus could heal his servant. Jesus' physical presence wasn't necessary. Okay, so this is what Jesus calls great faith. To sauten pistin in the Greek, much confidence. Now, much confidence for a miracle, not salvation. The Syrophoenician woman also had great faith. Matthew 15 verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Underline that, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now our faith was for our daughter's healing, not saving faith. So unbelievers had faith to be healed. But notice that didn't save them. You can trust God for things without trusting Him for salvation. Now we see this right from the Old Testament. Noah trusted God that the ark would hold him and his family. You may see Genesis 6 verse 8. See Hebrews 11 verse 7. Hebrews 11 7. It says, by faith, underline that, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, underline that, for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay? Abraham trusted God for a son. Romans 4 verse 18. Romans chapter 4 verse 18. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, underline that, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, underline that, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, underline that, already dead. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, underline that, being fully convinced, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, underline that, able to perform. Moses trusted that the Red Sea would part and remain parted till he and the Jews had passed. Hebrews 11 verse 29. It says, by faith, actually by Moses' faith, they, that is the Jewish people, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about other great exploits which were done by faith. Verses 33 to 35 of that same chapter. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, walked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fly the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. But with all of this, these men could not be saved if they did not believe in the gospel. The gospel was available in the Old Testament scriptures as a promise to be fulfilled in the New Testament. Acts 26 verse 22. Look at how Paul says it there. It says, therefore, having obtained hope from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than that which Moses and the prophets said would come. Underline that, from saying to come, that the Christ would suffer, that he will be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. If Paul is correct, and I believe he is, then Moses and the prophets, Genesis to Malachi, spoke concerning the Christ, his death, resurrection, and glorification. So unless they believe this, those under the old, they would not be saved. So it is therefore apparent to believe God for things is not the same as to believe God for salvation. A man can believe God for things while not believing for salvation. Is that understood? Okay. Now, in this teaching, we want to look at how to trust God for things. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to teach you how to get things from God by faith. Okay. How to change bad situations, receive miracles by faith. Now, Jesus taught us the importance of faith. Jesus showed us that faith can do wondrous things. Mark 11 records an interesting incident. Please turn there very quickly. Jesus had sought to eat of a fig tree on his way to Jerusalem. Verses 12 to 13, Mark 11. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When it came to heat, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus immediately makes a pronouncement on the tree. Verse 14 of that same chapter. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. You may get sonship in prayer to understand why he talked this way. Now, in the morning of the next day, the fig tree had dried up. Verses 20 to 21 of that same chapter. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which occurs has withered away." Now, Jesus seizes the opportunity to teach faith. Verses 22 to 24 of that same chapter. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Underline that. Have faith in God. Some translations have that as "have the faith of God." Okay, literally from the Greek. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done," underline that, from belief to done, "he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them," underline that, "believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now some have argued if the mountain in verse 23 is a literal mountain. It's not. Okay, Jesus is simply using a figure of speech here. The mountain would be figurative of tough situations. So Jesus is saying if faith could cause the fig tree to wither, it can do greater things. It can handle tougher situations. That's what casting a mountain into the sea means. So if a man will simply have faith, he can have what he desires. Jesus says similarly, Mark 9 verse 23. It says, Jesus said to him, "If you believe, all things are possible," underline that, "all things are possible to him who believes." Now, the problem for most men is having faith. We've seen what faith can do, right? It can handle tough situations. It can make all things possible. Now, some will ask the question, "Where then can I get this faith? I want to do mighty things. I want to solve tough situations. Okay, I know I can do all of this through faith. Now, where can I get faith?" Well, in the New Testament, faith is a gift. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul speaking there. Please turn there very quickly. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit." Underline that. "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Here, Paul lists faith as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, the believer in Christ has all the nine gifts listed here. Okay? Now, some would ask the question, what about to one to another? Doesn't that mean that we have separate gifts? I remember growing up as a Christian, that was how this was interpreted. Now, no. Paul had said in verse 7 of that same chapter, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," underline that, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." The word manifestation translates the Greek phanerosis, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S-I-S, which means an unveiling, okay, or display, an exhibition. So you can read it this way. "But the display or exhibition of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So God has given us the ability to display or to use the gifts whenever we want to meet any need at hand. Therefore, to one to another is dependent on the believer. It describes different circumstances requiring different gifts. When the believer needs to heal a sick body, to him is granted the gift of healings. When he needs to distinguish between God and the operation of the devil, to him is granted the discerning of spirits. When he needs to receive something from God, to him is granted faith by the same Spirit. So the believer determines what gifts he flows in part-time, not God. So in Christ we have faith. Say, "I have faith." Hallelujah. Okay, which we can use whenever we want. So you don't have to struggle to have faith in the New Testament. It is yours already in Christ. Faith came to you when you believe the gospel. Okay? It's a new creation reality. So you don't need to get faith. You have faith already. Christians are called believers. Okay, you can say those who are of faith. That's our identity in Christ. Galatians 3 verse 9. Let's see that quickly. Galatians 3 9. It says, so then, those who are of faith, underline that, who are of faith, are blessed with believing Abraham. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 15, Paul distinguishes between a believer and an unbeliever. Let's see that quickly. It says, and what accord as Christ with Belial, and what part a believer, underline that, a believer with an unbeliever. He calls a Christian a believer. He believes. Do you see that? In 1 Timothy 5, Paul calls Christians believing men and women. Verse 16, 1 Timothy 5, he says, if any believing man or woman, underline that, as widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it might relieve those who are really widows. Acts chapter 11 describes Barnabas as full of faith. Verse 24 of that same chapter, for he, that is Barnabas, was a good man, full of, underline that, full, the Holy Spirit, and of faith, underline that, of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul describes Christians this way, verse 7 of that same chapter, for we walk by faith, hallelujah, not by sight. Now to walk is to conduct one's life, to live a certain way. The Greek literally says, for we live in a state of faith, hallelujah. Okay, we do not live by appearances, that is what we see physically, naturally. This is who we are as believers. In context, Paul is talking about trusting God, even though our physical bodies are perishing. Paul says that we have the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, underline that, we have the same spirit of faith, I have the spirit of faith. Okay, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. A quotation from Psalm 116 verse 10. We also believe and therefore speak. The same spirit who inspired faith in David when he wrote Psalm 116 verse 10 now lives in us. That's what Paul is saying here. We have the same spirit of faith. Do you follow that? Now, because of the spirit, Paul could speak boldly even in the midst of persecution, which is the context here. So the believer doesn't have a faith problem. Say the believer in Christ does not have a faith problem. Okay? It's not difficult for the believer to trust God. He is called a believer. Okay? Believing is what he does. Say, I do not have a faith problem. Say, I am of faith. Say, I've believed and continue in faith. Say, I have the gift of faith already. Say, I have the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faith is to receive. Okay? So you have the ability to receive from God already. Okay? So the issue with the believer is not faith. He has faith already. The issue most times is how to use his faith. Faith is not the problem. So in closing, let's examine four ways you can use your faith. You have faith already in Christ as a reality. Okay, now how do you use that faith? Number one, know that God is able to do what you desire. Okay, you have faith already, but you need to rest that faith on something. Faith is not expressed in a vacuum. Faith means belief. You have to believe on something you know for it to be faith. So, know that God is capable. Okay, he has the ability to do what you desire. Rest your faith on that. The Bible tells us the greatness of God's power. Genesis 18 verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now that's rhetorical. The answer is no. He made the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 40:25-26. It says, to whom then will you liken me? And to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Underline that, okay? Who has created these things? Who brings out their hosts by number? He calls all by name, by the greatness of his might. Underline that, the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Underline that, the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Psalm 93 says, he is clothed with power. God. Verse 1. Psalm 93, it says, the Lord reigns. Is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Underline that. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the word is established so that it cannot be moved. Job says of him, I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours would be withheld from you. Job 42 verse 2. Jeremiah 10 describes him this way. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Verse 6 of that same chapter. He redeemed Israel with great power. Deuteronomy 9 verse 29. Deuteronomy 9 verse 29. Yet they are your people and your inheritance whom you brought out of Egypt, you can say, by your mighty power, underline that, by your mighty power and by your outstretched hand, underline that, by your outstretched hand, an imagery of God's power working miracles. Outstretched hand. You may see Exodus 6:6. Deuteronomy 4 verse 34, Deuteronomy 5 verse 15, Deuteronomy 7 verse 19, Deuteronomy 11 verse 2, Deuteronomy 26 verse 8, Jeremiah 32 verse 17, Jeremiah 32 verse 21, Acts 4:30. So when you see outstretched hand, most times that refers to miracles. Luke 1 verse 37 says, for with God nothing will be impossible. The Greek literally says, no word of God lacks power to do what it says. When God declares a thing, in that declaration itself is power. The earth was formed with declarations. Let there be, and there was. See Genesis chapter 1. So God says it and it happens. He does great things. Luke 1:49. It says, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, underline that, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He is called God Almighty, Shaddai in the Hebrew, which means one who is powerful, full of strength. I'll give you several references for that now. Genesis 28 verse 3, Genesis 35 verse 11, Genesis 43 verse 14, Exodus 6:3, Job 11:7, Job 31 verse 2, Revelation 11 verse 17, Revelation 19 verse 6, CF Genesis 49 24, Psalm 51, Isaiah 1 24, Isaiah 10 21, Isaiah 60 verse 16, Joshua 22 22, Revelation 11 17, Revelation 19 verse 6. He also raised Jesus from the dead. Acts 2 verse 24, it says, whom God raised up, underline that, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, underline that, loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be held by it. Now, if God could do all this, how much more your problem today? Hallelujah. These stories were written to let you know that you can trust Him. He has the power to meet every need. Say, God has the power to meet every need. Okay, number two here. Know that God is willing to do what you desire. Okay, He is willing to do what you desire. Now, usually, most Christians know that God is able. The issue most times is whether or not God is willing. Okay, is God willing to give me what I desire? Now, Jesus gives us the answer. Matthew 7:7. Please turn your Bible there very quickly. Matthew 7:7. Jesus speaking here. Ask and it will be given to you. Underline that. It will be given. Seek and you will find. Underline that. You will find. Knock and it will be opened. Underline that. It will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Underline that. Receives. And he who seeks finds. Underline that. Finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Underline that. It will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, hallelujah, who is in heaven, give good things, praise the Lord. Underline that, give good things to those who ask Him. So, Jesus says you need only ask. Do you see that there? God is willing to give. It says similarly, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Let's see that as well. Luke 12 verse 32. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. That is, He's willing to give it to you. Notice how James describes him. James 1:5. James 1:5. He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, underline that liberally, and without reproach, underline that without reproach, and it will be given to him. It is in God's nature to give. He doesn't withhold when we ask. Therefore, we can ask confidently. Hallelujah. Number three, know that sin is no longer a problem between you and God. Sin was a major problem between God and man. When Adam sinned, he hid from God. Genesis 3 verse 8 tells us, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Underline that, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin made man fearful of God. It created an enmity in the mind of man towards God. Colossians 1 verse 21 describes the sinner this way, alienated and enemies in their minds by wicked works. And over the years, men tried to undo the same problem. One way was through sacrifices. The law prescribed sacrifices for sins, but those sacrifices could never take away sins. Hebrews 10:1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers who once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible, underline that, not possible, that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It was therefore necessary that Jesus would come. Jesus comes as the true sacrifice which takes away sins. John 1 verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Underline that, takes away the sin of the world. Now by Jesus' offering, God has set us free from our transgressions. Our sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I have the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. It says, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 4 verse 32, similarly there, it says, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Underline that, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 1 verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Not only are past sins forgiven, present and future sins are also forgiven. Colossians 2 verse 13. Colossians 2 verse 13. And you've been dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Underline that. Having forgiven you all trespasses. See, I have been forgiven all trespasses. Does that include future sins? Yes. Okay. So sin is no longer an issue between the believer and God. God has dealt with the sin problem once and for all. Now the devil knows that. So he tries to make you sin conscious. He knows you've been forgiven. Now he wants you to forget that you're forgiven. Now how does he do that? It would inspire guilt in your heart. So what does he do? He put thoughts into your heart like, you've just sinned. Right? You're unworthy to receive from God. The devil will say things like, God is punishing you for your past sins, your past wrongs. This sickness on your body is payback. Amen. For that sin you committed several years ago. Many Christians mistake these thoughts as the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin. I remember as a younger Christian, I was taught that condemnation is actually the Holy Spirit convicting you. No. Actually, it's the devil. Do you follow that? Breathing sin consciousness into your heart. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk this way. Even when the Holy Spirit corrects you, he always points you to Christ. The Holy Spirit will say things like this, you're righteous. Righteous people don't act this way. Do you follow that? You are holy. Holy people don't act this way. That's how the Holy Spirit sounds. Okay? He bears witness to the work of Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 10 verse 14. Let's see that very quickly. Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Underline that, also witnesses to us. For after he has said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. Then he says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This is what the Spirit bears witness to. Okay? That we've been perfected in Christ. And that our sins are remembered no more. Do you see that? So, sin consciousness is therefore not the work of the Holy Spirit. Sin consciousness is of the devil. Sin consciousness is an enemy of faith. It robs you of acting confidently because it will make you think that God is angry with you. Now, that is far from the truth. God is pleased with us because we are in Christ. Romans 5, 9. Let's see that very quickly. Please turn your Bible there. Romans 5, 9. Much more than having been justified by his blood. Hallelujah. So I've been justified by his blood. Okay? We shall be saved from wrath through him. For even when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Hallelujah. Underline that the devil doesn't want you to know this. Do you see that? We were, past tense, reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled. Hallelujah. We shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Underline that. From we to reconciliation. Okay, say God and I have been reconciled together. Hallelujah. So don't allow sin consciousness. God is not mad at you. Say God is not mad at me. Hallelujah. Okay, God is not holding your sins against you. You have been set free from sin and wrath. You are reconciled with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, lastly here, number four, align your words with the first three. Okay, align your words with the first three. Keep saying what you believe. Faith speaks. Mark 11:22. Please go back there again. I want you to see something very key. Mark 11 verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Have strong faith. For most assuredly I say to you, whoever says, underline that, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, underline that again, he says, will be done, it will have whatever he says, underline that again, says. Do you notice says is repeated three times? Okay, for the sake of emphasis. So, faith is expressed via words. Did you spot that there? Okay, that is how it works. You see that the woman with the issue of blood actually spoke before she was healed. Mark 5 verse 27. Let's see that quickly. Mark 5 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. On the line she said, I shall be made well. Now the word said in verse 28 appears morphologically in the imperfect active indicative. That is, she kept on saying, literally in the Greek. So before she touched Jesus, she confesses with her mouth what she believed in her heart. Faith speaks. Say faith speaks. Okay, you know that God is able to give you your desire, say it. You know that God is willing, say it. Okay, you know that sin is no longer an issue between you and God, keep on saying it. Okay, use your words. What did I say to you? Use your words. That is how faith works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you have a sickness in your body and you're listening to me right now, okay, you're trusting God for healing, you can say this. Okay, let's say this together. Say, I know God is able to heal my body. His word tells me so. Say, I know God is willing to heal my body. His word tells me so. Say, I also know that sin cannot hinder my miracle. Say, in Christ, I am forgiven already, past, present, and future sins. His word tells me so. Therefore, God's power is working in my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, effecting a healing and a cure. So I believe and receive. Hallelujah! Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.